Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me, Dr. Shawanda Faye Watson, for another episode of Unpacking Family Secrets God's Way. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you. Oh, you are so awesome. And I am so grateful and appreciative of every listener, of everyone who shares the podcast, and everyone who supports the podcast. I am just grateful to my Heavenly Father for putting in me the tools, the wisdom, the understanding, the word, the healing that was needed in order for me to be about my Father's business. So before I go any further, I want to acknowledge Him and honor Him in prayer. So if you wouldn't mind joining me in prayer, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise your holy name. We're coming boldly before your throne of grace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, acknowledging you for who you are, the amazing, the almighty, the one who is mighty in battle, King of kings and Lord of lords, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the awesome I am, who is our Heavenly Father, our dear Father who loves us unconditionally, who is ready to forgive us of all known and unknown sins, iniquities, and perversions we have ever committed against His holy word, all the way back to Adam and Eve, up to now and in the future. So I'm asking Him now to forgive me, my family, my ancestors, forefathers, and foremothers, all the way back to Adam and Eve, as well as the listeners and their families, those who have been abused and those who are being abused, their families as well, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for your forgiveness, your grace, and your mercy. And Heavenly Father, I renounce right now every evil and wicked word that anyone else has ever spoken over our lives and destinies. And I also renounce every evil word that we have ever spoken over our own lives and destinies. So I take authority and I bind and break every generational curse in the mighty name of Jesus. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth over everyone who is listening, our families, everything that concerns us, my family and myself, and everything that concerns me and our families right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. I dispatch multi-purpose angels to go forth and obey every word of the Most High God concerning everyone associated with me, this podcast, the listeners, those victims who are being abused, as I pray right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I release the fire of God to burn out everything that's in us and around us that's not of you. Burn out everything that's in our environments that is not of you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, and I ask you right now, Holy Spirit, to take control. I decrease because you must increase. It's all of you and none of me. And it's in Jesus Christ of Nazareth's mighty name I pray. Amen. So if you do not have anything to write with or to write on, I will pause for a moment so that you can get that. All right. Well, we are still talking about domestic violence because domestic violence is still happening. Even as I speak, people, men and women, are still being abused. Okay. And, you know, our focus is definitely on the abuse that's taking place with the church, in the congregation, where you have victims who are sitting silently, hoping and praying that the pastors or the preachers or teachers, whoever is speaking the word of God, would focus on teaching men how to love their wives, and then, of course, teaching women how to submit, because submission is not slavery, all right? But there are times when men especially will use the scripture to, you know, vindicate the abuse that they bring to their spouse, and they use it to support or give rationale to why, you know, they're doing it and the fact that it's not wrong. Well, you know, the Lord gave his only begotten son for us because he loved us. And he didn't just love men. He loved women as well. He loves children. He loves all of his creation. All right. And if he created us, that does not mean that he, you know, condones the abuse of his creation. All right. Even those people who have not acknowledged him as of yet, you know, he is still full of grace and mercy for those people. When they cry out to Jesus, when they cry out to the Lord, because the Lord said, if you call on his name, you are saved. All right. And a lot of times people won't call on the name of the Lord because of a past experience, maybe in the church, outside of the church, or from someone who went to church every Sunday, but when they got home, they act like the devil. You understand what I'm saying? So he loves his creation. If he did not love his creation, he would not have created us. You see? So domestic violence victims are getting a louder and louder voice. The Lord is making the cry to do something about their situation, you know, and he's doing it through ministry. He's doing it through the church because they cannot overlook the need to talk about the relationship between a husband and a wife, between a man and a woman, and the proper way that it should be conducted. They're not going to be able to ignore it. Okay? Because the Lord is just raising up people to make that voice louder and louder. And I am just blessed to be one of those people. And I'm grateful to be one of those people. You know? So people are not going to want to hear what the Lord is saying through me. But it's not going to be because I'm not telling the truth. Okay, it's just because they're going to have to change. They're going to have to make new decisions. So, you know, the Lord's word is his word. And so I always, you know, put God's word in there. Okay, because it's none of Shawanda. It has nothing to do with me, you know. Okay, so I'm going to start off with the scripture from Mark 7, verses 21 through 22. Excuse me. Mark 7, 21 through 22. And the Lord said, "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. And they include sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly." And most of those you will find in a person who is the abuser, okay? Absolutely, most of those. And if not all of them, okay? And then, of course, he said in his word in Psalms 11:5, "The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion." Okay? So yes, our loving Father, okay, you know, he hates those who are violent with a passion. Do you understand me? So when a husband lifts up his hand to hit his wife, all right, or use his words to hit his wife, you know, so that he can abuse her emotionally. He's not laying a hand on her, but emotionally and psychologically, he's abusive. And, you know, he's breaking her down to where her self-esteem is so low. She's forgotten her purpose. She's forgotten that it's okay to laugh. She's forgotten that it's okay to smile. She's forgotten that it's okay to take care of herself and have likes and dislikes. You see what I'm saying? She's forgotten the talents and gifts that the Lord has blessed her with because of the emotional and psychological abuse that she is experiencing. And I'm saying she, but of course, you know, in the past podcast, I've told you that men are also abused, okay? Because a woman can cut with her tongue, right? When she wants to, you see? Because it's a choice. Abusing someone is a choice. You have to make a decision on whether you're going to treat them right or you're going to treat them wrong. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is still a choice. And so I'm going to give you some statistics after I tell you, you know, what love really is, okay? Because I just don't think people understand, you know, a lot of times what love is because it's selfless. It's selfless, you know? It's not a selfish thing. It's selfless, right? The person is taking themselves out of it, out of the way. They're getting out of the way that they're getting themselves out of the picture. And they're loving unconditionally. They're loving like the Lord loves, okay? Even though we can't even compare to how he loves. But if we're striving to be that example, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong, okay? And so, you know, when you're talking about love, you're talking about an intense feeling of deep affection, right? And, you know, when people are getting married and when they're in relationships, you know, that are supposed to be leading to marriage, right? Okay. They are expecting that person to show love, right? That it's an action that goes with it. You just can't say, I love you, and there's no action behind it because love is an action. Verb. It's something that you have to do, something that you have to show. Okay. So, I was looking up the, statistics on the emotional, and psychological abuse, but I want to definitely, share the stats with you as far as domestic violence is concerned. Okay. So according to, the, national statistics on domestic violence fact sheet, okay, you are basically looking at, on average, nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States, okay? We're just talking about the U.S., okay? 20 people per minute. So if you look at your watch, and you start at, you say you're going to look at it for like 1 minute, okay? In that time, you've got 20 people being abused. And understand that these are based on the statistics that have been reported. You know, there are a lot of victims who don't report their abuse. So you really don't have an accurate number, right? So, but based on what they have, the data that they have, during 1 year, okay, those 20 people per minute equated to 10 million women and men. Now, I want you to pause there because I said 10 million women and men. And I want you to just think about your family. Think about your close friends. Think about your coworkers. Are any of them in that 10 million? Okay. Just think, were you one of those 10 million? Hmm? And so if you said yes to either category, you know for a fact that something has to be done. And the church has to speak out louder against it. They have to teach the men how to be husbands on a regular basis. They have to teach the women about what submit means, what it looks like. Letting them know it does not mean that you are a slave to your husband, that you have a right to voice your opinion, okay? And you all come together, you talk about whatever the issue is, all right? But based on what conclusion comes, you are basically allowing your husband to voice it to whoever or whomever, you know, you all have to bring it to, okay? Whoever you have to discuss it with, all right? If you find yourself, and I'm talking, this is the way it should be, okay? If you find yourself that we're in a place where you disagree with what your husband is saying and you don't understand it, and the way that he's explaining it is still not clear, you cannot see the vision that he sees, then that's when, wives, you go before the Lord and ask him to clear that vision up for you, all right? And if your husband is going in the wrong direction, you're praying for your husband and interceding so that the Lord can give him the clear vision so that he can start taking the family in the right direction. You understand what I'm saying? Because the husband is under the Lord, okay? So the order of the family is God, the husband, the wife, and the children. Then you close the door. Okay, because no one else is supposed to be putting their 10 cent in, their 10 cent in, their 10 cent in. The only time that you listen to outside sources is so that you can grow. But unfortunately, the reason the Lord is having me to talk is because you have a lot of marriages where the husband has taken submission and took it to the left, okay, when he was supposed to be going to the right. You see what I'm saying? Okay? He's gone so far away from God's word that you don't even recognize the person that you married, right? The person that bought your flowers, the person that took you out to dinner, the person who opened and closed the door for you, the person who toted everything for you, the person who was concerned about how you were feeling, okay? And then tried to do whatever he could to help you and fix it. You see, he was fixing it for you because he loves you so much. So that person has gone to the left. Right? Because he has some underlying issues that you didn't see when you were dating or you didn't recognize. Because let me tell you this. When you go before the Lord and honestly want to hear what he has to say about the person that you're dating, right? And he is sending signs and wonders, letting you know, no, not now, or either no, not that one, okay? But because of the person that brought it to you, right? And you didn't like them, and you felt like they were trying to run your life, they all in your business, right? Then you want to go and be defiant. Not knowing that it wasn't them that you were, you know, disobeying. It was the Lord God Almighty who sent them. And you are disobeying him. And now you have found yourself in a marriage with your enemy. The one who came and was sent by the enemy, Satan, to destroy you. You see? So now, the Lord is wanting and he's getting the attention of those victims who will listen, because you don't have to do what he says. You can continue to go on and disobey. But when he gives you the unction to write out this plan, you know, keep your mouth closed on when he wants you to get out. All right. You have to be very, very careful and very clear about who is speaking to you. When the Lord opens the door, the prayer is that you see it. And you have to obey him. So when he says, get out, you get out. Because again, if you're saying that I'm staying in a domestic violence situation because of the kids, because I want them to be happy, that means that you're also saying that you are okay with them seeing your husband beat you on a regular basis. You're saying that it's okay for them to hear your spouse curse you out, cuss you out, degrade you. Do you hear me? That's what you are saying if you're saying that you're staying for the children. Because it's not the best for them. Yes, they love both parents, but there's no way, shape, or form that you're going to tell me or the Lord that you are doing the best for them and it's okay for them to see you being abused. No. No. So, toward the end of this podcast, like I've done in the past, I'm going to pray, and those who give ear to the Lord will obey him. Do you understand? Because I was watching a program on TV, and it was just one person that they were able to save. You understand? To where you saw the ending where she was so happy. But then there was one who was so afraid, but she did what she was supposed to do and what she was told so she could get out of the abusive situation. So if it's just one person that hears the voice of the Lord through my podcast, okay, that is willing to change, willing to get out and obey the Lord's steps, okay, when he tells you to move, then it's awesome. Then this is a success. Do you understand? So going back to the Lord's word, in Proverbs 3:31, the Lord said, do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways. And when children see one parent or the other abusing their father or their mother, they're being taught. So the seed of violence is being planted. Okay? It's being planted in the children. And so the reason that I have to do this, knowing that I'm not going to have everyone who will support this ministry. Do you understand? Because this is a ministry. I didn't ask for it. I didn't even know I was going to be, you know, have that responsibility and the task of doing this for the Lord. But it's here, and I can't put it to the side. I can't throw it away. You know, and that's just the way it is when you're serving the Lord. You don't know exactly where he's going to take you, but your finger must be on the yes button. Okay? So we're talking about emotional and psychological abuse. All right? So I'm going to give you some more statistics. Okay? So 48.4% of women and 48.8% of men have experienced at least one psychologically aggressive behavior by an intimate partner. Okay? I remember, and I think I told you all this before, when I was at Walmart one time, and the wife and the husband were there with their children. Everybody was in line. It was a lot of people in the store. And so she wanted them to go over and get her some food from the deli, okay? So apparently she had asked her husband to get some types of sauces, you know, because they have the barbecue, the honey barbecue and all of that over there as well. He came back without it. And when he came back without it, she cursed him, called him stupid, every kind of name you could think of in the middle of the store at the register. And everybody's like looking at her and he's not saying anything. Do you understand? Now, I don't know why he didn't, say anything to her, but their children were standing there watching her abuse, you know, verbally abuse her husband in the middle of the crowd of strangers. And no one said anything. We just waiting on her to just be quiet because it wasn't the fact that she was impressing anyone. Okay. But abusers don't care. And he probably thought when he was marrying her, ooh, she was like the best thing, you know, but I'm quite sure his family was telling him, no, that's not the one. You know, and, you know, I'm quite sure her family was trying to throw hints. Like, when she was growing up, boy, she used to beat her brothers up. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Oh, yeah. She was something else, boy. She was something. Those are hints. Those are clues to let you know, no, that's not the one. Without just saying, no, you don't need to marry her. Okay. You don't need to marry her. She's not the one. She's not going to treat you out. They're not going to say that. You know, your family, you know, his family will probably say that, but her family won't. But they'll give you clues on the type of behavior and actions that they've seen in the past with her. Yeah, she got hips. Yeah, she got the boobies. Okay. Mm-hmm. And she might be pretty all in the face with the long, silky hair. Okay. But the men need to, you know, clear their eyes from that. I understand that they're visual creatures. You understand? They like the visual. But you better move that visual out of the way and get to the heart. You see? Because a woman would beat a man just like a man would beat a woman. Okay? Because they don't care. When they're doing that, they don't care about the victim. They're not concerned about the tears and the, don't do that. Why are you saying that? They don't care. You see? Not at all. And the Lord has a lot to say about the words, okay? Because in Proverbs 18:21, the Lord said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So just like a person can speak death over their own lives, they can also speak it over other people's lives. You see what I'm saying? And that's what happens when someone is being verbally abused in a marriage or in a relationship. And these people still, you know, they're so broken that they start thinking, you know, if they don't say those things to them, that means they don't love them. Well, they didn't love them in the first place. Mm-mm. When they were going out to dinner, they didn't love them. Okay? No. When they were staying up late at night on the phone, they did not love them. But no one is talking about this in the church. And then here we are in January. We just finished Domestic Violence Awareness Month in October. Okay, now we're getting it to go into February, and February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, and the color is orange. Now, I want you to just pay attention when February get here and see if you see orange or do you see more red, okay, for Valentine's Day. Which one are they really supporting? They already got Valentine's stuff in the stores, but nowhere do you see the orange shirts with the orange ribbon talking about ending teen dating violence awareness. You see what I'm saying? Or ending teen dating, violence. You see what I'm saying? So, and you have parents who don't even realize that their teenagers are being abused because the teens are not going to tell them. They stopped telling them things when they were children. Yeah. You see? They stopped because when they were growing up and they wanted to show their little picture, you know, that they had drawn, or a little picture that they colored, or they wanted to tell you about what happened at school, or they wanted to show you what they made or something like that, you told them to get out of your face. Mm-hmm. Go play somewhere. And then some parents even cussed them or cursed them. You see what I'm saying? And after two or three times when they trying to tell you something and you tell them to get out of your face, you won't have to see them again because they're not going to tell you anything because they don't trust you. They don't trust that you love them. And now here you are in a domestic violence situation and you don't love them enough to get out of it. Do you see? And the church is silent and you got victims in the church sitting there waiting for the Lord to give a word, right? That's going to penetrate the heart. It's got to penetrate the heart. You see? And once it penetrates the heart and starts changing the heart of the person who's beating and abusing, then they will change their minds. You see what I'm saying? You see? Because every word that proceeds out of their mouth is coming from the heart. You see? Right? Yeah. Uh-huh. So, you know, as a man thinketh, so is he. Right? So when the heart is changed, the words change. And so when the words change, you know automatically that the thoughts are changing. Right? Yeah. Okay? So the Lord also said in his word in Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So as the Lord is penetrating the heart with his word and his love, then the words again will be acceptable to the Lord. And that person will start yearning to please the Lord because he is the redeemer, right? But see, they're not teaching this in the church, right? So people think, okay, domestic violence, that's somebody else's issue. No, no. That's all of our issues. Because one, you have the foster care system that's overflowing. And you say, well, that's not my issue. Foster care is not my issue. Yes, it is. Look at your check stub. Look at FICA. You supporting it. That's your business. Okay. The family who didn't want to get involved with it to tell their son or their daughter, hey, stop that. Don't do that. Don't abuse them like that. You know, if you don't want them, leave them. You see what I'm saying? But no, they're silent because they don't want to make them upset. They don't want to get them upset. You see what I'm saying? They're all, because they're going to start arguing. They're going to start cussing. Okay, well, if something happens tragically and you have to make a decision on where those children are going to go, you will have to get involved. Do you understand? So why not get involved on the front end so that everybody can have a happy ending, right? Okay. It's a choice and everybody has to make it. Everybody. So this issue will no longer be ignored. Okay? No longer. Okay? So it all boils down to this. And we're going to pray a prayer of salvation. And we're going to the scripture of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, if that's you, you're dealing with an abusive situation, you're dealing with unforgiveness and anger from your childhood, and this is why you're taking it out on everybody, especially those people who are closest to you that you're supposed to love. Or if you're the victim and you don't know how you got in that situation, because that's not how it started, I encourage you to pray the prayer of salvation and rededication with me. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come before you now as a sinner. I have not lived according to your holy word, and I ask you right now, and I tell you that I believe that you gave your only begotten son just for me. And that if I was the only one, you would have given him just for me. I ask you to forgive me for all known and unknown sins, iniquities, and perversions I have ever committed against your holy word. And I thank you right now for your forgiveness, your grace, and your mercy. I thank you, Father, and I ask you to fill me with your Holy Ghost. Make me a new creation. And if I die tonight, heaven would be my home, because I have received Jesus as my Lord, Master, and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the royal family, okay? Thank you, Father, for covering them, saving them through Jesus. So now I'm going to pray a prayer to cover you, to make the crooked places straight for you, so that when the Lord opens up your eyes, your heart, your spirit to receive his word, his direction, his will, his way. You're moving. You're moving. Do you understand? So Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we're coming boldly before your throne of grace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, acknowledging you for who you are. And we ask you right now that the bulldozing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth knock down every hindrance in the victims' lives that will keep them in a domestic violence situation. I mute right now every demonic spirit that is speaking to the heart of the victim as well as the perpetrator, the one who is abusing, right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, sword of the Most High God, cut out all of the victims out of their bondage, out of their cage. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, make the crooked places straight, Father, so that they will see you, they will hear you, and no one else. In the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you also, Father, for preparing them to have a place to live, to restore everything the enemy stole from them in the mighty name of Jesus, because he's a thief. In the mighty name of Jesus, restore right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we're coming boldly through the blood and with the blood and the fire of the Holy Ghost into the house of the strong man. And we're pulling out everything he has stolen from the victims, from everyone who is involved in this situation, for the children. In the mighty name of Jesus. Fire of the living God, burn out everything that the enemy deposited into their hearts, their souls, their spirits, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command every evil and wicked arrow fired into their lives to backfire. Go back to the senders and deal with them. In the mighty name of Jesus, owners of evil loads, carry your own loads by fire. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, right now, and I bind up backlash, sabotage, retaliation, setbacks, revenge, and delays, not only for the victims and their families, but for my family and myself and the listeners and their families. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, that you are dealing with the preachers and the teachers and the pastors. You're putting it on their heart. You will not allow them to rest until they deal with the issue of the proper and godly marriage from the pulpit. In the mighty name of Jesus, no rest until they properly teach how a marriage looks, how a husband is supposed to love his wife, and how a wife is supposed to submit unto her husband as unto the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, on a regular basis, that they address the teen dating violence that is taking place right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask you to cover the children's minds, Father, their spirits, their souls, Father, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heal every broken place right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I call their broken emotions in from the north, south, east, and west, as well as for the victims, and as well as for the abusers. And I ask you to give them the strength to deal with that hurting place, that thing that won't let them go, that thing that's causing them to drink, causing them to drink and get drunk and beat. And those who are sober, we ask you to heal that broken place in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you again that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me, my family, the podcast, the listeners and their families, the victims and their families, shall be brought to condemnation. So I condemn them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And it's in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, mighty name, I pray. I believe that I have received everything that I prayed for. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, again, if you are a victim of domestic violence, there's help for you, okay? You can call the national hotline. Men and women, teenagers, you can call the national hotline. And even if you're not prepared, you don't know what steps to take, they can help you with that. And the number is 1-800-799-7233. That's the National Domestic Violence Hotline. 1-800-799-7233. And again, February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. Let's show the world the orange. Let's show the world the orange. And if you have a t-shirt business, I encourage you to make the t-shirts, sell the t-shirts to let people know about this cycle of abuse. They need to know. All right. Thank you for sharing the podcast. Thank you all for supporting the podcast. There's a way when you open up the link, you can, support the podcast with monetary gifts. And they will be greatly appreciated because I know that I am going deep into an area where people don't want to hear about, change. And so, I'm going because the Lord has already gone before me. And when he is for me, who can be against me, right? So I am excited. When you're in purpose, get excited. All right. So I'm also going to be talking about my book. So if you have been sexually abused, God's Love Broke the Chains of Shame is available on Amazon. So if you know someone, order the book and just mail it to them. Okay. Share the podcast with them. All right. So we have some new and exciting things coming up. I will be letting you know about those things as well. I'm so excited about it. So eventually, I can't talk about it right now, but I am excited about it. And, I am going to share that with you. So, until next time, if you need me to speak to a group of people, talk about it, at a meeting that you're having, you feel free to email me at watson.shawanda@gmail.com. That's watson.shawanda@gmail.com. All right. Well, be blessed. And of course, I love you with the love of the Lord. Until next time. Bye-bye.